everyone. Welcome to H&H. I am here with Rob, and we're going to talk about The Curse Season 1, and there's going to be spoilers here, and this is a great show, so if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Wait, no, Rob says it sucks. Okay, well, there's more reason. There's going to be a disagreement. So you go and you watch it, and you come back here, because it's only 10 episodes so far. There's only been one season. You don't have to watch five seasons in order to catch up. We'll still be here. And so, yeah, I'm interested. Okay. So starting now, there's going to be spoilers. Rob, you don't like this show?
I thought it was like a very good show up until the finale. And I thought the finale was so stupid that it almost sort of retroactively made the rest of the show worse. It was sort of the reverse of The Shield, where like The Shield was a good show and then the finale made it great. This was like a pretty good show. And then the finale just completely spoiled it for me. And I don't regret having watched it. Like, it was a fun show. It had, like, interesting things to kind of say. It lampooned a certain kind of upper middle class, like, you know, professional white person and their attitudes around social justice and stuff. It was kind of fun. But the ending was so stupid. And, you know, like, I just the whole, oh, God, yeah. I watched it last night, and I'm still kind of upset about how, like, that you know, because, like, I like Nathan Fielder's stuff generally. Like, I watched The Rehearsal. I've watched some episodes of Nathan For You. It's, like, a quirky, interesting kind of humor. But this was so dumb, man. Like, you liked that? Did you like the finale?
No. I thought the first nine – I thought this show was in the Pantheon. I watched the first nine episodes, and I'm like, this is one of the best shows I've seen. And we could talk about why. And then I like maybe I just had a traumatic reaction to the finale, where I don't let it color. Like, I just in my universe, like, I just try to pretend like it never happened. Like, season 10 never happened. There's the whole world, or episode 10 never happened. Yeah, the world ended after episode 9. I thought, yeah, and so we can, yeah, let's talk. Let's, I guess we could been. Start with.
I mean, that would have been actually if it had ended with Asher and his like weird plea to Whitney, and that was the end, and you see that like look on her face of like sadness and terror. That would have been an interesting ending, actually, and that might have actually I don't know the Pantheon, but it would have been like a very good show if it was just nine episodes and that's how it ended. But anyway, the fast forward to season the Ted was just anyway. So what?
My understanding is from reading, there's been no season two picked up, and it seems like there might have never been meant to be. It's hard to see how it might have never meant to be a season two because Emma Stone is apparently going to film Cinderella, I guess. I mean, I read that somewhere or something like that. So there's going to be a long time where she's not going to be able to film it. So it feels like a self-contained
miniseries, right? It's sort of a self-contained miniseries. That makes sense. At this point, how could you? Like, you're not going to be able to have the same, you know, like, where's Asher going to be? I guess you could make it about Whitney, but.
Yeah, but the whole universe makes no sense now. It's like a supernatural, you introduce a supernatural element. So when he was stuck on the ceiling, I'm like, is this realistic? But then I remember the exact moment where my heart sank. It's like he came out to like the portico, like that, whatever that is.
Porch.
And then he gets past, and now he's flying towards the sky. And I'm like, oh shit, there's no explanation. He's better be dreaming. I'm hoping he wakes. And even when he's waking up, maybe he's just a viewer. You know, when he's going out into outer space, he's like, wake up, Asher. And I think we're all just sitting there like, yes, wake up, Asher, please. Please tell us this was just all a dream. But no, he doesn't wake up. He just goes to outer space and I guess suffocates or freezes to death or whatever happens when you go out to outer space.
Yeah, I think we had the same response. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. And like when he's in the house stuck on the ceiling, I'm kind of thinking like, is this scientifically possible to have, you know, this sort of air pressurized house? And I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. The air pocket idea. Like, I was going with it. Like, it seems stupid, but I'm like, okay, maybe it's like theoretically this is possible. But then, when he flew up to the tree, I'm like, this is so retarded. Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I don't know. I mean, it was so realistic. Like, what I liked about the show, like the idea of the curse, you have this little girl from, where is she? Somalia, I guess? Well, Minnesota.
They never say it.
From Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they say Minnesota, which is very clever.
But, okay, so they're like a weird Somalian family. This little girl, like, you know, it's like, okay, is it a cultural thing? Do Somalians believe in curses? Does she just pick this up from some TikTok trend? But it's ambiguous. That's what makes this the show interesting, was like, does she really have superpowers? Can she really inflict curses on people? But it always sort of played it, it was in this sort of gray area where there were explanations for it. It seemed like this could just be a series of coincidences, and that made it interesting. And now it's like, oh, there actually magic does exist in this world. They just like threw it in at the end. There's no way to have, like, so if you ask, like, well, with a show like this, you should be able to hypothetically predict how things will play out. And even if you're wrong, there should have been clues along the way to like inform, but there was nothing throughout the show that could have possibly allowed you to predict that Asher would die in outer space. Like, nothing in the show would have given you that kind of information, right? Like, anyway, yeah, but I liked the conceit. I thought it was cool. I liked the dynamic between Asher and Whitney. The Whitney character I thought was fast. I liked the Dougie. Dougie was my favorite character, actually. Even toward the very end, I liked Dougie, so.
Yeah, I found something interesting in all the characters. You're right. The supernatural thing. I mean, everything, like, okay, they don't bring chicken to it. Like, he keeps being obsessed with chicken. It's like, okay, like, I thought this is, of course, all in their heads. And I thought it was very fascinating when, like, Dougie was like, please curse me. Like, it was such a psychological thing. It plays on sort of like these woke liberals who are also like, they still think like foreign black people are like magic. And so there's like that element where it's like, yes, you know, she did something to me. But like, of course, they're so like, you know, they're not self-aware. And the way the Somali guy, the way the dad, especially, like, he looks and acts, I mean, he looks like he has PTSD. I mean, he really looks like he's been through a war zone or something. He just has a very sort of reserved manner, and they don't portray him well. Like, when they give him it's not like politically correct in that way. They go try to give him the house, and he's like, who's going to pay the property tax? He's like, okay, thank you. He's like, get out, right?
Dude, I'm pretty sure they were stripping that house, right? Like, weren't they, like, because there's that weird, like, white guy with a beard in Absher's house. They were strip mining that house and, like, taking out the plumbing. Like, they were definitely...
Yeah, they thought they were... Yeah, that was funny. That was funny, too.
Like, they thought they were getting evicted. And then, so... Because the girls weren't there, right? Like, he's like, oh, they're not here. Like, he probably just told the girls, like, we're getting evicted and you guys need to get out of here while we, you know, take all the pipe fittings and the whatever, like the copper plumbing equipment. So yeah, that was like really, I don't know. Yeah, I like that they kind of portrayed them as three-dimensional and realistic. Like, Absher wasn't this like, I mean, okay, fine, like the magical black guy, but he was like human, right? Like, he wasn't a saint, you know? He wasn't like this, they weren't trying to like play on the viewer's heartstrings with him. He was just like a single dad and like whatever, like just sort of portrayed as like a normal person and not I don't know. They could have, at the very end, they could have made him cry. They could have said, I'm so grateful, me and my daughters, you know, like, I've worked so hard and, you know, whatever. He's just like, yeah, who's gonna pay the tax? And like, he's got this weird guy in there with him. Like, I don't know. Just, you know, it was like a very, you know, realistic, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about each of the characters in turn. I like shows like this. I like not a lot actually happens, like action. Like, you'd have Better Call Saul, like, you thought it was boring, but I like, it's just psychological, it's like sort of slow psychological, subtle dynamics. I tend to like shows like that. So this was like
White
that.
Lotus, I thought.
White Lotus stuff happens. They're all having sex or dying or something. There's a lot of stuff going on. By the way, Sydney Sweeney, I just like knew who this girl was like a week ago. She was on White Lotus. She was one of the teens. I mean, I just found this out amazingly. The Emma Stone character. She is like, I found her so fascinating. She's like, There's a liberal white woman, and it's not just one dimensional. It's not like, oh, she's a, you know, a liberal hypocrite who just like is ridiculous and like doesn't want to call the police and like gives them a credit. It's not just that. Like, that's part of her. But it's also like, she's like charming and like pretty and like nice to people. Like, you see that, like, it's not like every interaction with like a minority is some condescending thing. She had that one where she went to see that girl who was the relative of the cameraman or something, and the girl starts crying. You told me, go, remember the scene, true? She goes, you told me, go get him, girl, or something like that. She genuinely inspired this, you know, fat Latina or whatever she was. And so you do see that sort of complexity, that she is actually like a sort of, you know, a good person. She has, and the way she uses humor, like, it's a very subtle thing. Like, the way she, you know, she's like, you know, she has a scene where it's like, I got to get that muffin recipe from you or something like that. And it's like the way she's always trying to find humor or conversation based on some grasping sort of this whatever connection she can form with somebody. I thought one of the best scenes was when she was talking to that, you know, what is it, cameraman or something. And she's like, you better shape up or something like that. And she's like pretending to be serious. And he does the thing. I don't know who starts it, but where he's like, he gets her. He's like, oh, I got you. He's like being disrespectful to her. And then she's doing it like back to him. And like, you think, oh, like, I don't know what you thought, but I was like, oh, like she was actually being serious. They're going to show that she's a bitch. But like, no, she was kind and connecting to him and funny, but like also sort of condescending too. It's not exactly like, it doesn't work. You can't really eliminate like the gap, the imbalance completely.
You have reached the end of the free preview of this recording. To hear the rest of the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber.